Today, if you haven't figured it out, this father. I can speak from experience when I say that being a father and a grandfather and a husband, it isn't always easy. And I've made plenty of mistakes. I said a lot of them. I've stressed a lot of stupid things over the course of my career as a dad. I have discovered that even though my daughters have grown, as the challenges for me, the challenges are too much different. The blessing of being a dad to three beautiful daughters, it changes over time. And even though my oldest daughter, I can't believe this is true, but it is going to be 39 years old in a couple of weeks. But I still get the daddy, what do I do calls. And I know dads here, you get those calls. Now to be your grandfather, I have hopes and challenges and blessings. And I admit that the stress level is not quite as high as it is compared to the children. In Psalm 127:3, we read this. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Now, most of the time, I am in full agreement with God when it comes to this passage. But there have been times in my life, raising my daughters, where I asked God, I'd be sure about the whole reward part. But I can tell you, it's easy. And I think that mistakes, I said a lot of dumb things. And I want to give you two examples of my fatherly wisdom when my daughters were young. One day, Andrea, she is my middle daughter. She was always the emotional child, more needy child. And she was about 5 years old. And so finally, after listening to her whine, insisting tears and so on and so forth, I said to her, why don't we stop whining and act like an adult? The reason she wasn't acting like an adult was she wasn't an adult, and she was acting, guess what, like a 5 year old. On another occasion, my daughter Bethany, she is my youngest, and she, in our form, complaining what we were having her do. She was going to complain. And I'll mention this, I have some satisfaction in seeing her struggle with her daughter between and her novelty, her daughter. So, I want to make the memory. One day, he was Tuna Noodle Castle. Now, I happen to love Tuna Noodle Castle, I'm a big fan, and she was complaining, not to buy this again. Probably wisdom, I just gave your team, I said, hey, it's not like I'm asking you to eat that dish or anything. And my girls are slow. And then I said, oh, yeah, yes. So, yeah, we needed that. That was a suspense moment. And also, pastor for over 30 years, now in Melbourne here, West Indiana, and being a pastor's shoulder is much like being a father because it has a lot of challenges, but it also has great blessings. And the underlying thing about being a dad and an elder is love. I mean, there has to be love involved, love for the people that you are. And there will be the times of wisdom, and there will be also mistakes that were made, and certainly in my ministry, that was the case. Now, the reason I point all this out is being a husband, father, and elder, they're all leadership positions. And when one looks at the Word of God, we can see that there are certain traits that a leader ought to have. And today, I want to look at some biblical keys on being a successful father. But I want to go even beyond that because we can see that these same keys, the same truths, can also be applied to being a successful leader within the church and also outside the walls of the church. So I present these truths to you. As I do that, I want you to see that it's not, I want to not only encourage encourage the fathers and grandfathers from there, but I also want to encourage all the men who lead from leaders in this church.
Yes, you should.
In both church being led, I believe it's Paul is referring to. It's really a person we can also seek. Thank you. So as I speak about leading a church this morning, I want you to realize that I'm just not talking to Andy and George. I'm talking to all the men in here that me or need to. And ladies, I don't want you to feel left out. But you obviously play a very important role in the leadership of this church, and that you must pray that these, I would humbly ask you to pray that these truths be seen in the fathers of this church. Pray that these truths be seen in the leaders of this church, and also these lessons can be applied to your own life. Most of you, if not all of you, are a leader in some capacity, perhaps at home, perhaps with children, perhaps in your secular job, or perhaps even here, a leader among this. So we all, I think, in some capacity, lead. The first key to be a successful father is a father must have consistent and godly discipline. The Word of God tells us this in Proverbs 21:15. It says, a rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces his mother. Now, those are words. And I know each one of us here, when we've been in some social setting, have seen that pour out. Disciplining children in our culture has become quite politically incorrect. It's something, for whatever reason, we're told you shouldn't do because you're going to hurt their self-esteem, you're going to crush their spirit. You know, we've heard that. But beloved, God calls us as fathers, as parents, to discipline our children. We must lay down the rules for them to follow. It's a very important thing. We must teach them to respect others. We must understand that discipline equates to love. The biblical model of discipline is a model of love. It's a form of love. And if we're not disciplining our children as we should, I think the Bible is talking about loving them as we should. We need discipline. In fact, we all need discipline. I call to mind Hebrews 12:6, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone who he accepts as his son. Now, to say that we do not need to discipline our children is to say, hey, God, I've got a better plan. I got a better way of doing things. But no. See, God loves his children. He loves them, the scripture says, and so he chastens them. And the word chasten there means to train. He loves them, so he chastens them. He trains them. He teaches them what is good for them. So to be a successful dad, we must be as our Heavenly Father is, and we must practice discipline towards our children. And I realize that it's not always easy. I know that there were times when I did not discipline my children as I should have. And I do know, I would say, I often fail at doing this because they were such cute little girls. I mean, you have to deal with this. But God called them to lay down to discipline my children. So let us not neglect the proper disciplining of our children, doing it out of love, not out of anger or anything from tyranny. And I know it's not always easy to do, but it's best for our children, and it's also best for us. This is also true with those who successfully lead the church. The leaders of the church have been given a calling to God, by God, to keep the church pure and holy and on the right track. Leaders of the church must practice conviction and godly discipline. They're called to do that. And one of the great tragedies that I see in the American Christian church is that church discipline has kind of fallen to the wayside. Rather than the mantra of keeping the church holy and pure, let's be open-minded and accepting and don't call anything sin. God just wants us happy. That's what he wants. That we have to show the love of Christ, and that doesn't show the love of Christ. We don't oftentimes want to offend, and we become so obsessed with trying to fill the pews that we've kind of forgotten who it is that we want to fill the pews with. Godly people, followers of Jesus. And when it says that, many folks focus just on the love of Christ, and that's the only thing they think about, and they trample and put the holiness of God, purity of God, that we are called to live. There's another way of saying being like Jesus. As the church of Christ, we must be a light into the world. That's the call. We must stand apart from the world. That's what holiness is, being separate from the world. And the only way we can do that is to remain holy. And it's disturbing to me that we kind of, at times, again, American Christian church has lost its way on it. But it has been given to the leadership of the church to accomplish the discipline that is needed. That is the responsibility of the leadership of the church. And discipline must be consistent, and it must be godly. And again, based on love. And we need to understand that church discipline can be done with love. In fact, I would say church discipline is an act of love. It protects the purity of the church, and it protects individuals. Just as a father will bring his household to ruin if he will not discipline his children and just let them run amok, the church will be brought to ruin if the leadership refuses to use discipline to keep the church holy and pure. And once more, I admit, it's not always easy to administer church discipline. I know that firsthand. It's extremely unpleasant. It's extremely stressful. But it is a command of God. The second key to being a successful father is to live with Christ as our example. What fathers must understand is that what your child sees, what your child's grandchild, whatever, see you do, will have more impact than any sermon they will hear from a pulpit. It will have more impact than BDS. It will have more impact than Sunday school. Because what they see you do as a dad, to them, that's the norm. That's what normal is. If they see you pray, they will grow up thinking, oh, praying is normal. It's what we do. If they never see you pray, they will think, oh, not praying is normal. It's just what you do. Same with reading the Bible or how you treat your wife. How you treat them, and so on. The way you act is what they perceive to be normal. I think of the words in Paul, 1 Corinthians 11, and these should be words of every father to their children. And Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That should be a saying of every dad. Don't expect your children to be godly fathers if you're not God. And live out an example to your children of what it is to look like Christ. I'm reminded of the Old Testament kings and how many times we read it over and over again, 1 Kings, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the sons have committed the same sin as their fathers. 1 Kings 22, we read concerning Ahaziah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And walk in the way of his father. 1 Kings 24, we read of Jehoiachin. It says, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. Over and over again, you read words where these kings did evil. because they followed in their father's footsteps. They did not have a godly example, a righteous example. They had a simple example, and they took that example, and that's how they lived. Fathers, whether we realize it or not, we will greatly influence the kind of men our sons will be. We will greatly influence that kind of women our daughters will be. So live with Christ as your example, praying that they will imitate you as you imitate him. Once more, we can apply this truth to the leadership of the church. See, a successful leader in a church is one who lives with Jesus as his example. As leaders of the church of Christ, we must reflect Christ. See, realizing there won't be a godly church if it does not have godly leaders. It's interesting to note that if you look at the list of qualifications for an elder in a church in 1 Timothy and in Titus, you find that the list begins ladies or above reproach. So as Vine's New Testament dictionary says, this word implies not merely acquittal, but the absence of even a charge or accusation against a person. And that's the way a church leader needs to be saved, ladies, above reproach. And we all know that there's only one who is above reproach in the absolute sense. I know I fail quite often at being above reproach, unfortunately. And there's only one who is totally without fault, and that is Jesus Christ. No other man lived a sinful life. So if we as church leaders are to live blameless, there's that, and that is to follow the example of blamelessness which we see in Jesus Christ. He is our example. And if we're living like him, then obviously we are. We will be above. I also point to the words of Peter in 1 Peter 5:1-3. He says to the elder Thelonious, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share glory. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willful, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Leaders in the church are not to lord over anyone. The people of the church as some sort of dictator or tyrants. Leaders of the church are to lead by example. Not a do as I say, not as I do attitude. Christ is the example. The leaders follow that example, and they lead the church using that example. Church leaders must reflect to the church the example of Christ. And that is indeed a high calling. Looking at the third key to being a successful father, and that is protect your children. Dads, protect your children. Grandpa, protect your children. Your grandchildren. Fathers, we need to understand that there are many things in this world that seek to not only harm our children and grandchildren, but seek to destroy our children and grandchildren. Many things seek to lead our children away from the Lord, away from godliness. Many things and people will seek to draw our children into darkness, into a bad place. Listen to 1 Peter 5:8. I think you've all heard this passage before. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That someone in this verse not only speaks of ourselves, but the someone that Peter's referring to not only, again, is ourselves, it's our children. It's our grandchildren. That's in the church leadership, it's those we love and we are called to lead. Those are the someones that this lion, that is Satan, is seeking to devour. Devour. One of the things you may not know about me is that I love hunting. And my love for hunting, in that love, I read a lot about predators and how they hunt. And the lion is one of the most ferocious predators there is. Yet one of the things that most predators have in common is that they often will go after the weakest prey. They go after the sick, the old, the young. And I do not want us to lose sight of the analogy that Peter is using here when he compares Satan to the lion. Satan is apt to devour those who are easily led astray. He's out to devour our grandchildren. Let us understand as well that Satan will use means to bring ruin to our children. He uses means to devour. He will use the internet, social media, online predators. He will use our mother's peers. He will use whatever he can. And while those things aren't evil in and of themselves, they are often used as the means that Satan will use to devour our children, and our grandchildren, and our loved ones. Fathers, grandfathers, you are to do all you can to protect your children. Protect them from the roaring lion that walks about looking who he can help. Protect them from the means that Satan will use. We have a responsibility to be involved in our children's lives. And I'm not suggesting we lock them in their bedrooms and toss away the key and don't let them into the outside world. That's not practical. It's not reasonable. It's not rational. But we need to be aware of their friends. Know where they're going. What they're doing. Kinders, our children, our children. Once more, it's in church leadership. To be a successful church leader, we must protect God's children, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Acts 20:17. We read of Paul here. And it says, now when Miletus, he was sent to Ephesus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And so the elders of the church of Ephesus come to Paul, and this is what he says to them. This is Acts 20:28-39. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or elders to care for the church of God, which he obtained by his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come among you, not sparing your flock, and from among your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away and draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. In other words, what Paul is telling the elders, protect the church. Protect the church. Look out for predators. Look out for those who will come in and teach heresies. Teach that which is contrary to sound doctrine. Protect the sheep of God as a shepherd protects his flock. Be alert. Be on guard. Protect the church. The leaders of the church are giving a great charge here. The leaders of the church are protectors of the people. We must protect them against false teachings. We must protect them against error. We must protect them against sin. Protect them against wolves, against that lion that seeks who he can devour. Anyone or anything that brings harm to the church, these elders are given a call to protect the church against it. These are the ones that God purchased with his own blood. Think on that for a moment. The leadership of the church is given the charge of protecting something, someone that God loves so much that he shed his own blood to redeem it. So to be a successful church leader, you must protect the church. The fourth and final theme being successful dad is, I would say, the greatest, and that is love. Two areas. of love are a must. First, love your children. Love your children. Love your grandchildren. Well, in the scripture, there's no expressive command for fathers to love their children. It's quite clear that they should. Especially in light of the fact that Jesus is our example. We see in the Bible that mothers forgive an expressive command, Titus 2:4, speaking to the older women, it says, so train the younger women to love their husbands and children. And we are told to love one another. The Gospel of John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also love one another. We love each other. And perhaps what tells us most clearly that we ought to know our children is Heavenly Father loves. John 15:9, as the Father loved me, so I love you, Bible. What is the love of Christ? The love of Christ is to love as Christ was loved. As the Father loved him, Jesus says, so I loved you. By that love. That's the standard. Fathers, you must not only love your children, you must tell them you love them. Do not be the dad who says, oh, I don't need to tell them they know. Let me be true. Is that the body of me? Those fathers don't know. They may know it, but they need to hear it. I don't know any person who does not delight or find joy, comfort, peace in the words that are spoken to you, the words, I love you. I tell my daughters and my granddaughters, my grandson, I love them house. I don't have a conversation with them that is not ending in I love them. I love the fathers, love your children. And tell them that you love them. Tell them. The second area of love is fathers love your wives. Ephesians 5:25 says this, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up. To me, that is probably the most awesome and difficult for me to give in the scripture. Can I tell you how much I struggle with that commitment? I mean, I love my wife, but I don't love her to that point that I really should. And that was as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And it's not that I don't want to, I really do, but it's such a massive command. Husbands, love your wives. It's Christ, love the church, and gave himself for them. That's huge. Husbands, love your wives. Not just any love. Love them as Christ loved the church. And understand this. The Bible is one long story. It is a story of redemption of God's people through his son, Jesus Christ. Genesis through Revelation is a love story. The whole thing. And it's a story of how much God loved his people, how much he loved his church, how much he loved us in sending his son to die for us. That love is revealed throughout the pages of the Bible. And that is the love that a husband is commanded to have for his wife.
Sure.
That's the standard. So fathers, if you do want to be a successful and godly father, love your children, love your wife, as Christ loved us. Once more, we see this is true of the church leadership. To be a successful church leader, you must love your church. That must be the basis of it. The desire to be an elder or the leadership capacity of the church must flow from the fact that you love the people, love the church. You love them. It means putting them first. It means loving them in a way in which they know their love. Listen to the Lord's words in John 13:35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. How, Jesus? If you love one another. If church leaderships are to lead by example, they must love the church, and that must be seen by others. This love means putting the church first, humbling yourself. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. That is the heart of a church leader. That is the heart of a very true pastor. Valuing others above yourself. The love that a church leader must have for the church, bride of Christ, is kin to the love a husband has for his wife. And it must be remembered that the church that leaders are called to lead, the church that you're called to shepherd, is the church that was purchased by the blood of Christ. Keep in mind the words of Paul in Acts. Leaders who called to care of the church of God, that she is obtaining through his own God. And that's a high call. God loved his church so much that he was willing to shed his own blood. And if you're not willing to commit that kind of love to the church, then you shouldn't be a church leader. And let me say that as an elder here, I do love you all. I can sincerely say I do love you. It's a unique love. I love you as I love my wife and my kids. But I love you. And I certainly say I would struggle to love you as Christ would do. Some of you can be here. Anyway, so we've seen some keys for successful father, and this is by no means conclusive, there's more to it than this. You must have consistent godly discipline. You need to live with Christ as your example. You need to protect your children. You need to love. We've further seen that those same keys are vital to church leadership. And I would further say that they can be some ways applied to any area of leadership, no matter where it's found, whether in the church, outside the church, family, secular world. So as we celebrate Father's Day today, I want to encourage fathers to be successful fathers, not as the world says success or defines success, but as God views it. And it's never too late to implement these keys into your life. If you're a father, whether of a one-year-old or a 39-year-old, God is holding you accountable to be a godly father. I also want to encourage you fathers and men who have the calling, those qualities. And maybe it's time for you to share those qualities by being a leader in the church. The church has always been godly leadership. And it may be time for you to step up. And maybe God is speaking to your heart in this message. And ladies, I would ask you, pray for the men of the church. Again, I know no church does not need godly women to pray and to serve the church as well, to use the gifts that God has given you. Can you imagine, and I was thinking about this, can you imagine what our church would look like if just men attended? Wow, that would be good. So we need, the church needs God, leaders of the Bible. And one thing that I said earlier, the Bible is one long lust. It has a single purpose, and that is the unfolding redemptive plan of God. It all points to the truth found in the gospel. A gospel is clearly stated in 1 Corinthians 15:2-4. By this gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have been in vain. What I received I passed on to you is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. My prayer is that each one of you have trusted in that gospel. Each of you have recognized that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, need of repentance. I pray that if you've never trusted in Christ, today is the day you respond to the calling he has put on your heart and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation. I pray he's telling us that. That's true. Father God, your word is always something that ought to challenge us. And this morning, Lord, there are passages we read and talked about that do indeed challenge us. That passages that challenge all the dads here and the grandfathers and the men here. It's the passages that challenge each woman here. Lord, your word challenges us. And the overarching challenge is to be like you. To be like Jesus. Lord, that is such a high calling, and it's a difficult calling. And Lord, each one of us here, we fail in that calling consistently. But you, Lord, we don't abandon us. You remain our Heavenly Father, and you always will. We praise you and thank you. Lord, I pray your blessing upon this church, upon each individual here. Praying that we would love you as we should, that we would love each other as we should. And then as we journey through this life together, Lord, I pray it would be a journey that over and over glorifies you. And we humbly ask these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.